was golden. Find up and wash out the sea. They find us and wash out the sea. They just can't figure you out.
Hello, Weftland. You are listening to Smob Politely Radio. That opening track was, of course, Lock the Front Door by The Fights. You can check them out. They'll be at the Homer Soda Festival next weekend. Smob Politely Radio. SmobPolitely.com is, of course, the place to go for everything local. Arts, food and drink, music, news and culture, and much, much more. I'm Sean, and on our show today, we are going to play for you an interview recorded yesterday with Rebecca and I when we sat down with the Champaign Police Department's Chief of Police, Anthony Cobb. And here is that interview for you coming up.
Started, can you tell us a little bit about how you got involved in law enforcement here in Champaign?
I became involved in law enforcement somewhat on a fluke. And when I say it like that, I didn't plan to go into law enforcement. But when I came back to the Champaign community, born and raised here, I came back in 91 from college. I had the opportunity to get hired on at the Urbana Police Department, and I took it. Didn't think I would be making a career out of it. I'd just be there for a few years, and my plan was to go off to the federal level and get out of Champaign and do something different. But actually, when I got on, it stuck. I liked it, and here I am.
Federal law enforcement? Was that the original plan?
That was the original plan. I was going to go to the federal level. I wanted to travel and go see the world, so to say. But I ended up sticking here at home, and actually, I'm glad I did. I mean, one thing I learned once I got into law enforcement is what I think makes me uniquely different than a lot of officers is that I'm really, really committed to this community. I'm from this community. I'm proud to have a lot of family, this and that. Not to say other officers don't care and don't go the extra mile and do their things, but I feel a direct connection. I mean, I know I have a cousin, I have family, I have friends, I have lifelong friends. So it just means that much more to me to go the extra mile. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a hard city to leave, I feel like. What do you think are the biggest challenges to policing in a city like Champaign?
Biggest challenges that we face is similar to law enforcement across the country right now. When you look at the magnifying glass that's on the police profession, we feel it here in the city of Champaign. We have a great community here, great people, great environment, but we have our issues here too. We are a micro-urban city, as our elected officials like to say, and what micro-urban brings micro-urban problems, and we have some real problems that larger cities see. But we have to deal with them as well. The nice thing is to have that micro-urban but still have that small-town feel, and that's what I think a lot of people like about Champaign is that we're large, but we're not too large where we don't get to know people and don't take the time to smell the roses, so to say.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, how do you know when you're sort of policing well? Like, what are the signs that you look for where you feel like we are accomplishing mm-hmm. what we need to accomplish, what we want to accomplish, what the community needs?
Public feedback. Yeah. When we're policing well, we're engaged. You can see it in interactions officers having with the public. You can see it in the compliments and the public taking the time to say thank you, knowing that that person went the extra mile. Just before we started this interview this afternoon, got an email from our professional standards lieutenant saying, hey, Interstate Kids Officer Dave McLaren got recognized from a citizen from Mattoon. He just happened to be in town, and his officer was on his lunch break, but he took 30 seconds, a minute, to pull out some junior badge stickers and hand it to her kids and just speak with them, just chat mm-hmm. with them. And they were in awe because they saw him in uniform. He could easily walk by and went about it, but it's the little things that make a difference. And just hearing those little refreshments and knowing guys are taking the time to do that, it means the world to people. And like I said, I've sat that interaction today. I had another citizen for Normal call and give feedback on an officer and the way he handled their child, who was an adult but also had some mental health issues. And the way he handled her with unconditional respect really resonated with this family to the point where they felt compelled to have to send a letter and say thank you, because not to throw another agency under the bus, they didn't feel like they get the same service from their community at home. But it was nice to hear those type of feedbacks, and that's always proud and makes you feel good when you know guys are out there doing it, and they're not doing it for the thanks, they're doing it because that's who they genuinely are. Mm-hmm. So.
Could you talk a little bit about your sense of police community relations when you first took the office of chief mm-hmm. a few years ago?
That was one of the big issues that I was aware of coming into the job. We had a breakdown between our agency and our community, and that was quite evident if you watched the process, the hiring process we went through, and there was a lot of concern, a lot of dialogue around how we're going to fix that, how we're going to bridge the gap. One thing that was very, very inviting to me about the Champaign Police Department is, one, it was a quality police department, good people, and a strong foundation when it comes to community policing. We just may have lost our ways there for a short period of time, and it led to some of the problems we had. But the things were, there were things easily can be overcome just working with the current people within the organization, knowing that there were good people there and already knew the essence of what we need to do. And when we got back to the basics and started working through those things, we were able to turn around somewhat fairly quickly, which we're pleased about. But the thing is now is, how do we get to the next level? Now we're going in the right direction. Now we need to make more strides and get closer, and how do we take our outreach to engagement.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You used the phrase community policing in your mm-hmm. answer, and that's a phrase that I hear a lot, but mm-hmm. I'm not exactly sure what it means. Okay. Could you talk a little bit about what that means in terms of how you see, you know, the programs and the kind of direction that the department is going in?
The best way to describe community policing is probably looking at the mission of Champaign Police Department. We talk about our flavor of community policing, and that is us providing unwavering protection to all citizens of our community through unconditional respect and through collaborative efforts with our community. That's what we strive to do on every call. We want to create an environment where all citizens feel safe, where all citizens know that they're going to be respected unconditionally. We're going to meet you where you're at. We're going to respect you and work with you to resolve that issue. That's community policing at its finest. When I think about the definition of when I first got into community policing, we talked about putting together a relationship where you work with citizens to identify, prioritize, and to solve community issues. That's what you're striving to do in community policing. It's not me saying, this is what I think the problem is, now get out the way and let me go solve it, or you say the problem is, I don't even solve your problems. It's us talking about what it is. From my perspective, I think drugs may be the big issue in the community, or I think gun violence may be the big issue in the community, and it's all throughout the city, and we have to deal with that. That's not the case. When you look at issues, you look at each geographical neighborhood, and the issue that may be a problem in this neighborhood may not be in this other neighborhood, but we have to prioritize and deal with them. So when I'm in this portion of the community and saying, hey, the big issue here is loud music, it's still an issue, it's an important issue, I want you to deal with it, but when I'm over here, the big issue here may be gun violence or drugs, and being able to make that shift to work with the neighbors and make sure we're dealing with those problems as we're working through each different neighborhood. We're just part of the solution. The actual solution are the residents and the neighbors working together with each other to solve the issues in their neighborhood. We're just a tool to help them.
So on that, you've had this series of recent community meetings, mm-hmm. public library, the Douglas Community Center. Mm-hmm. What have been people's concerns that they've stated at those meetings?
The big concern that we're hearing a lot of people talk about is wanting to get to know their officer, building the trust. When I think about professions out there, I think about doctors or dentists or any profession that you hire, a lot of times people take the time to do their homework and know who's going to provide that service to them. Police, we're not that much different. People want to know who are the ones. If I dial 911, I need help. I want to know who's going to show up and what they're about. So having making time, creating time to allow officers to interact with our citizens before they need them. That's one thing we're hearing in stereo. We hear a little bit about some of the crime sprees that we're seeing within our community, the gun violence. That's something that's concerning, and we've talked about that. But we hear other things about employee wellness. A lot of conversation from the citizen thinking about, okay, what are you doing to keep these officers healthy? They must be under a lot of pressure. A lot happened across the country. That's a great conversation to talk about, and the steps that we're doing, how we're working with officers, how we're working with officers' families, because a lot of time, when we're not healthy as far as police officers and issues come up, we may not realize it. The other people who are around them may not realize. The first person to realize, gee, is the person at home, our spouse, our significant other. Them are the ones going to say, dude, you got a problem, or lady, you got a problem. You might need to go get some help, and putting those help in place so they have places they can reach out to and access and get them whole so that we provide better citizens better service to our citizens. Because if I'm not healthy and I got issue, I don't want my issues to reflect onto someone else and cause problems in their life. So,
on that, I'm sort of getting to know your police officers and the people who are out there protecting you, the people who are working for the police department here. Mm-hmm. Do you know, I mean, what's sort of like the ratio is to people from this community on the police force versus outside the community who are on the police force? I'm just curious.
Yeah, off the top of my head, I don't know the exact ratio because I can't tell you definitively where everyone's from. I know we do have a few homegrown officers. I will not say we are definitely a minority. Deputy Chief Daniels is born and raised here. I'm born and raised here. Mm-hmm. I know we just hired Officer Fry. I know he's born and raised here, and there's a handful of others of us. But a lot of them are from East Central Illinois area. But we have some from everywhere. Like I think of Officer DeLong, who's a guy we just recently hired, born and raised in Champaign, but started his law enforcement career in Arizona. He was out there for 7 or 8 years and just made the transition back here. I know his dad is a local business owner. I couldn't tell you which business, but I said, tell you, okay, I know he had roots here. But we got a lot of guys like that. Or we may have guys, their traction may have been back to their community because of their spouse. They may have been other parts of the country, and the spouse wanted to get closer to family or come back home, this and that, so that brought them back here, so they came here to practice their trade. But I don't have the exact breakdown.
So you've mentioned a couple times in our conversation that obviously at the present moment there's a kind of a national conversation about relationships between police and a variety of communities. Could you talk a little bit about how you think that national conversation has played out or affected the relations between police and community in Champaign?
Yeah. A lot of things that happen on a national level has sparked some discussion. I think back to use Centennial High School as an example. They have a group that they started over there, a social action group. It's a club the students put together working with staff. That social action club has been sponsoring a series of talk called Real Talk. And they've had several dialogues over their lunch hour where they can attract 75, 80 students to talk about things that are happening on a national level. Some of the topics are, does Black Lives Matter? Does all lives matter? How does this interaction, or how do we build trust in law enforcement? They've reached out to hear us here at Champaign Police Department, asked us to come in and take part in discussion. They actually had members from Urbana Police Department take part in discussion. But these are challenging conversations that our high school students are pushing on. Our community wants to know a lot of this stuff. When you think about the community coalition, when Ferguson first happened last August, there was a lot of concern about, okay, if something like that were to happen in our community, what would the response be like? We actually took the opportunity to bring the multi-jurisdictional investigative team in, and that's the body that Jenny will come in and investigate officer-involved shooting, and they talked through what their investigation would look like. We took a step further and actually contacted the FBI and had the Civil Rights Division of the FBI to come in and talk about saying, hey, if we open a Department of Justice investigation into a civil rights violation, what is their role and how would they go about it? Taking the time to talk with our community, engage our community, educate them on this is things we have in place, so if something were like this were to happen in this community, this is how we're going to go about it. I think understanding process is very important, and a lot of times as these issues unfold, dusting off that process, talking it through, and making sure the community is aware of it. We have to be transparent about the process. A lot of times the detail in the process people want, that takes time for us to get that detail. But we always want to make sure everyone knows the process and know how we're going to go about it and how it's going to be a level playing field so that the public stay informed of what's going on and be assured that we're going to get to whatever the outcome may be based on the facts as they unfold.
So could you talk a little bit, I know that one of the issues that you mentioned earlier that came up in the community meetings and also something that's been in a lot of headlines from the News Gazette mm-hmm. lately have had to do with gun violence in Champaign. Mm-hmm. Could you talk a little bit about what the police need to do in order to address that and also what the community's role is in addressing that as well?
Yes. From the police perspective, we need to keep doing some things that we're doing. We need to continue to put officers in the hot spots. We do need to continue to take the fight to the individuals who are illegally carrying weapons, who are creating this violence in our community. The vast majority of these individuals are people who are not lawfully allowed to have weapons for various reasons, and their actions are criminal, and we need to hold them accountable. We're working very hard using intelligence-led policing. We're working with our local as well as state and federal partners to identify and continue to go hold these individuals accountable. Where the public can help us at is we need the public to stand strong with their neighbors. We need the public to understand that there's certain behavior we cannot tolerate in our neighborhoods. And when I say we as a neighborhood, standing with the police saying, no, you can't do this here, and be the witness. If they're too afraid and don't want to be the witness, still provide the information, whether you're using Crime Stoppers. There's no way we can trace that and figure out who they are, but we need people to go ahead and make those phone calls. A picture's worth a thousand words. If they can safely snap a photograph of someone being out there, snap a license plate, partial license plate, vehicle description, all those things can be helpful, and then take the time to make sure we get it. Social media. We know a lot of people see a lot of things on social media. If they're seeing things that may flare up in the community, may lead to violence, this and that, be willing to share the information. But we need people to come forward and be part of the solution to these issues in order to keep our entire community safe. But those are some of the things that we can do to work together. But like I said, the big issue, and we say this in the community and neighborhood meetings, the neighborhoods, the residents know their neighborhoods better than we at the Champaign Police Department will ever know their neighborhoods. They're invested in those neighborhoods. They live in that neighborhood 365 days a year, 24 hours a day. They know it. We want to be a partner with them. We want to help them keep their neighborhood safe. But it's us working together in order to do it. We can't do it by ourselves.
You mentioned social media and also the use of sort of mm-hmm. technology and the proliferation of smartphones and things mm-hmm. like that. How in your career have you seen that sort of change the way police work is done or is going to change?
Quite a bit. I mean, most cases nowadays involve some type of high-tech crime use, whether it be a computer or cell phone. With the smartphones and the information that's on there, there's a lot of information that becomes evidence off those devices. And because of that, it requires a lot of work on our part to keep up with technology and deal with those devices to get the information needed. So like I said, when I first started, people weren't texting. Cell phones weren't even barely in existence at the time. I remember the big bag phones you saw people carry around. That's how things started in my career. We weren't chasing after computers or anything like that. The work was a lot different. Now technology enhances it. Look in our squad cars, you see technology. When I first started, we had the mobile data terminal, a little bit brick of a computer. Now we have the mobile data computer, and it's a laptop, and it's very robust. It's rugged. Right now we're looking at tablets. When I first started, we did have cameras in the squad car, but it was a big old antiquated thing that was there, and it was wiring all the stuff in the trunk. Now the camera system we have in the car, a little bit more robust, digital recording, wireless download, so the officer has no ability to tamper with or compromise the video anyway, whereas when I started, it was still on VHS tape. I could have popped it out, threw that thing off in the lake somewhere, and you go find it. I could have compromised if I wanted to. I would have gotten in trouble for it if I did it, but I could have. Those days are gone. I mean, everything downloads wirelessly into the servers in the evidence vault, so the officer can't even tamper with it. So that puts better accountability in. Creates more trust because we turn those cameras on quite a bit when we're out and about, and the officers know they've been audio and video recorded. Most officers nowadays welcome that because they want to do a good job. They want to provide quality service to our citizens.
Mm-hmm. Another kind of technology that has received a lot of attention in terms of the local community recently mm-hmm. is the acquisition of the mine-resistant armor-protected vehicle by mm-hmm. the County Sheriff's Office. Mm-hmm. Could you talk a little bit about what your thoughts are on that piece of equipment? Is it something that our community needs? Why mm-hmm. or why not?
Well, when it comes to having an armored vehicle, we have one here at the City of Champaign. We were fortunate enough that our city council was able to allocate funds and help us to be able to purchase one. But recognize when issues happen in our micro-urban community, there are people with long guns in this community. We need equipment to be able to protect ourselves and be able to protect the public. We may have 6 to 10 barricaded subjects a year throughout our county where individuals may take their family hostage or may take others hostage. And having something that you can hide behind and know it's going to protect you is huge. I think about if we had a scenario where, say, we, God forbid, had a school shooting or something, and we had kids or people down there laying out in harm's way, and we stood there and watched them die because we can't safely get up there to them. I wouldn't want to explain that to a loved one saying, well, I can't do nothing for your individual. If I run out there, I'm going to die too because he got a high-power weapon. But knowing you had a vehicle that can have ballistic capabilities that can protect you and allow you to get up there and do that officer down or the citizen down rescue, those things are very important. So there is a need for it. I understand people feel that it is the militarization of police department. I would argue it's the demilitarization of equipment that are surplus, that are giving us opportunity to find a way to reuse it or recycle things that would probably end up in a landfill somewhere. From the sheriff's standpoint, I mean, he always said the magic number was it's free. When I can get this capability and it can provide resources to protect our community and recognize there's a time when you use it, it's not for everyday patrol, it's not something you're going to see on a daily basis, but when you need it, you need it. It's good to have.
Well, to finish up, if you could tell us, you know, we talked a little bit about the kind of conversation that happens between the police and the community mm-hmm. throughout several questions, but another kind of aspect of that conversation is, of course, the media. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about sort of the way that interactions between police and community members in Champaign is sort of picked up and recirculated. And the conversation is shaped in a lot of ways by how crime is reported in this community. Could you comment a little bit on what you see as good or negative in terms of how crime is reported in the media sources we have in Champaign?
The media sources we have in Champaign, they try to get the story out. They want to get the information. And just like any media source, everybody wants the scoop. I want to break the story first. I want to be able to tell it. I think when you look at media in general, I'm not throwing the local media under the bus, but I think a lot of time blood sells. Violence and those things are the things that the public wants to hear and they want to be able to capture and get those things out there. Could that over-sensationalize a piece? That the potential is there. The big thing that we try to do here at the Champaign Police Department is make sure we vet the information and get accurate information out. We value our partners with our local media, and we want to work with them to tell an accurate story. But if there's a breakdown in communication or things start to get sensationalized, we're not scared to go direct with our public. That's the reason why we started our presence on social media. We want to make sure we get accurate information out to the public as quickly as possible so public can go and they get the facts. The facts are what they are. Now, what you interpret and how you interpret those facts, that's up to you to make. And that's, in my opinion, good reporting. And that's what we will ask our media to do, and that's what we want to do, is just put accurate information out and let the reader draw their own conclusion. That's what we're striving for. That's the reason why we're having the conversation, to build the trust so that we want people to be able to come directly to us to get information. It's not that we're trying to avoid our media outlets, but the thing is that we're trying to challenge them. We're going to tell accurate, and people are starting to come to us and look directly to us. They may not need you anymore if you don't start to do the same, because I can tell you right now, they always can tell the story better than us. They're more skilled. They're journalism students, majors, and they're professionals at it. But we need to make sure we don't sensationalize and make sure we keep it accurate. So,
Chief Cobb, thank you so much for mm-hmm. taking the time.
Yeah, you're quite welcome. Thank you both. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Again, that was Chief of Police Anthony Cobb from the Champaign Police Department. We appreciate him taking the time to do a pre-recorded interview, which you just heard. You've been listening to Smile Politely Radio, SmartPolitely.com is, of course, the place to go for everything local. Arts, food and drink, music, news and culture, tech, blogging, photography, so much more. It's all there at SmartPolitely.com. Stay tuned. We've got Hip Hop Express coming up next. To finish us off this afternoon, we're going to hear a new track off of The Moat's new album, their album Keep It in the Dark. They're holding a record release party for it tomorrow over at Mike and Molly's. I believe that starts about 8 p.m. This is Freeway. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great weekend.
Yeah, you're gonna have to sleep late.